This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Hey, what's up, fuckers? Welcome to the latest podcast. We're a day late this week. We apologize. Had a minor incident at the Williams house yesterday to clean up, but we're here now. We were actually gone last week because the youngest, newest Charter is now part of this world. Congratulations, Mark.
He's arrived. He came last. What day was he born? Wednesday.
I really like the day before. Name, too.
Duke.
That's an awesome name.
Duke. He... It's funny because names, people, when they don't comment at all, it's usually like they're just like either meh or they don't like it or whatever.
Yeah.
And when they really like it, they say it. And Duke's been – people in the hospital were saying things like, that's a manly name, Duke Charter. And I'm like, you're right, but he better not be a wuss. Seton has a unique name, and people don't usually say much about Seton.
Yeah, so you're going after, like, basketball powers in the 80s.
Yeah, so Seton doesn't get quite the love that Duke's gotten. And then
– Seton Hall had its time, though.
It did. And then, of course, the name that has nothing to do with anything. My daughter, Hollis. Hollis gets a lot of comments. People seem to like her name quite a bit. But
did you name your son after Mike Krzyzewski?
No, but I do. I've always liked the name Duke. I think it's manly. And I like winners. And Duke basketball is a bunch of winners. So I realize there's people out there that hate Duke, and that's okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If you wanted losers, you'd call them Dr. Quinn and Medicine Woman.
Yeah.
You like that? Yeah. You like that one? Yeah.
Well played.
Oh, thanks.
Duke is doing really well. He's a good baby that rarely ever cries, which is about all you can ask for
that's
with a
awesome.
Baby.
I got to go hold little Duke.
Nice. Yeah. Ashley and I think might try and come by this weekend.
Gray's one of the first guys that I've ever seen in my life, and this is my third kid, that like acted like he actually wanted to hold a
Gray
baby.
Loves babies.
Like most guys are like, nah, I'm good
he
or whatever.
Like when she was a day old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gray's like, give me that baby. I'll hold that baby.
Gray loves babies.
I held him for a good 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you forget how small they are. Oh. You know, I've had three kids, but you forget how small a newborn is.
Yeah. They're tiny.
Yeah, Gray looked like he knew what he was doing. So.
Hey, Charter. So when we were in Colorado a few weeks ago, we're walking around like, and there's the t-shirt shops.
Yeah.
And I saw this t-shirt, and I had to get it for you.
Uh-oh.
Like, it just screamed Mark Charter to me. So here you go.
Oh, jeez.
So enjoy.
You'll have to take a picture of that. It says, with arms raised, it says, I pooped today.
We were kind of going through and looking at all the t-shirts, and, like, I didn't have any intentions to buy any. I'm like, man, that seems like something Charter would say.
Well, a shirt for you, your arms be raised and say, I only pooped three times today.
Dude, that's on a low day for me.
Exactly.
That's like four or five.
You'd be excited.
Do you wear a medium or a large? I got you.
Oh, no, I like medium, typically.
Yeah, I figured you like the guns. You like the tighter.
Yeah.
Tighter
wear. I appreciate the gift. Thank you very much. Speaking of gifts, you brought me a gift today. Another gift, in fact.
Well, that's... Yeah,
that you didn't pay for, but hey.
Well, they didn't... So this is like a total free plug for these guys.
They deserve it. But in my opinion, they knew who I was, so they deserve it.
This is not an advertisement, not being paid to say this. the Juice Company Cafe.
Yes.
I think it's here in Ankeny. And
it's on First Street.
I hadn't had breakfast yet this morning. I just wanted something quick and healthy before I came in here to the Charter House home. And I'm used to saying home office, the
home
headquarters.
Base. Yeah, yeah.
And the guy, Corey, was a huge Cyclone fan. Big fan of the website.
God
and
bless him.
So I got this this green machine, I think is what it's called, or green something. I don't even know.
Did he ask you to sign an autograph for him?
No. Okay. But I told him I was coming into Charter's office. He goes, oh, here's one for Charter. And he gave you a free smoothie.
I love it.
He didn't say anything about you, Adam.
That's not surprising at all.
Are we drinking the same one?
Yeah, this is
good.
One. This is really good, and it's incredibly healthy. Mm-hmm. And I will definitely be going back to that guy. That was good stuff.
Yeah. What do those cost, by the way? This one is free, so nothing.
It's like $6, I think.
Really? But is it meal replacement? Is that the point? That's supposed to be your lunch or something like that?
Although,
what kind did you go with? A little wheatgrass in there?
Yeah, there's wheatgrass.
Some honey?
There's honey in here.
I've had that one.
There's some pineapple in here.
It's pretty good.
Like some kale.
Not bad.
And I generally hate kale. I love spinach. Like, I'll put spinach in any of my smoothies.
Yep.
You put kale in there, and I want to puke. Like, I hate kale, but I can't even taste
it. There's definitely banana in this.
Yeah, there's some nana. Yeah.
Yeah. I like smoothies, man. I'm wishing a friend of the podcast well, because the Smoothie King is opening soon. It is in West Des Moines.
Yeah,
but Jack Whiffer's partially behind that. I don't think it's his baby fully, but
no, he's one of a bunch of guys who went together to. Oh,
but they had a soft opening.
These smoothie
this week,
places are popping up, man. It's a big deal now.
Des Moines has been way behind on that. Like, Jamba Juice has been all over for years, and Des Moines has not had like a smoothie place.
Well, we don't have that one yet. That's kind of the king of them, I think. But I hope it's not a fad like the ice cream places were.
Like,
we had
cherry berry
here, that's gone. We had Lemon Tree, that's gone.
Cold Stone is slowly going away in a lot of places.
It's weird because it's a good business model. I mean, for the most part, you could have one person that works one of those shops. I mean, you serve yourself. But Orange Leaf is still here. It was funny because we said those things, if you wanted to start your own, the next one that should have started in Ankeny was going to be called Fruit Noun. That was the name of it. Because if you noticed, it's always a fruit. Lemon, orange, cherry, and then something else. Tree, berry, leaf. So just call it Fruit Noun.
I like it.
You know, that's the name of our new franchise.
I just crushed that smoothie.
I can, like, practically see the nutrients running through your veins.
You're just getting shredded in front of our very eyes. I just see your body.
Dude, I haven't had time to work out in the last couple of weeks. It's been bad.
So we need to decide this, by the way.
Fat.
Gray and I were saying, and we got to listen to the audience every once in a while, and we heard from people last year that, not everybody, but some people out there didn't like it when we would make our picks for football games.
Who the hell doesn't like it?
People that think it's boring. And, you know, if we each do 5 picks, it can drag on and whatever, and I agree with that. So Gray and I were talking about this the other day. And we thought we should still do some type of a pick segment, but maybe less picks, and then there has to be some ramifications for sucking. So,
okay.
So Gray and I were thinking it would be nice if on a weekly basis the person that did the worst the week before had to, what do we say, drink something?
Drink something that the winners picked out for them.
The problem is I go and work out a lot after this.
Not a big something.
Oh, just
a little,
like a drink,
a little something.
Just a sip. Okay.
No, yeah. It's got to be like at least a shot glass.
Like
or
a shot. A shot of something.
Like Jaeger with a shot. Like put a little mayonnaise in some Jaeger.
Mark, this is like only
just smoker's cough
that you would come up with.
Just something gross. You know? That way it's relevant.
Urine?
No pee-pee, no poo-poo.
No urine.
None of that. But then every week people can at least know that they get to listen to us drink something disgusting and tune in to see what we're
doing. Okay, deal. I'm in.
So this is not something you can say you're in and then back out on and say it, guys.
Well, I'm going to be here every week.
Well, Gray said, too, and he had a good point, that you're Mr. Guys, I got the show later. I got to
work out. I can't do this.
I'm more like I just don't want to puke when I work. Because I do. I come here, do the podcast, and then I go work out at noon every day.
So I think the winner.
I don't want to vomit.
Should get a pick, within reason, what it is. Nothing.
So the guy who
nothing too disgusting.
The guy who gets last has to do the guy in the middle is safe.
Yeah. Correct.
So I say we do 3 games, but there's got to be a tiebreaker in case somebody.
Yeah.
So one of the games you have to pick.
That's
the
your
total score.
Just do Iowa State total score.
That's Iowa State total score.
That's
yeah.
your tiebreaker every
there
single week.
There you go.
Week.
Boom.
Yeah.
Or
winner gets to pick. Loser has to drink.
Or you could pick them in confidence points and you add them up.
There's a number of ways to do it.
I can do that too.
Because the total score is just pure luck, in my opinion, a lot of times.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the tiebreaker, though. Hopefully someone goes 2-1, 3-0, so it doesn't matter anyway. You'll go 0-3.
The fridge here at Charter House is going to be full of disgusting stuff. Like, what should we make Williams drink this week, you know?
And this will be drank live on the Fawcast, so people can hear you gagging.
Well, it's not live. It's recorded.
Well, yeah.
Okay, Williams.
So
okay.
If you're going to leave the puke, then it's captured as well. So
we need to do a running total, though, too, and this is my proposal. This is easy to do, not too crazy. The loser, whoever gets last place, has to host everyone over to their house for a bowl game, the three of us, and pay for all food and drinks for that.
Okay.
That's a good deal.
The Iowa State bowl game, or
yeah, well, no, we'll be there for that one.
Yeah, as I was gonna say,
we'll any other, just a some.
Where's the playoff at this year? I mean, that's where we're gonna be.
Yeah, was it Sugar Bowl?
We don't need Jake Campos.
No, he just got in the way.
I like that attitude. I don't know if you guys know this, but football is right around the corner.
We have to start talking about it.
I'm excited. So next week, I don't even know if Chris knows this because Chris never knows what's going on. We're going to be joined by Lane Danielson next
week. Yeah, I know. Adam told me about it.
Boom. So
I heard he's upset with us because we keep bagging on the 2003.
He did mention that very specifically.
he's not a fan of it.
So Lane had been a partial Fawcast listener. He had heard a few.
Yeah.
And then he disclosed to Gray and I that he had a 21-hour drive back from vacation a couple weeks ago and listened to Fawcast episodes nonstop.
Oh, God. Poor guy.
So I think he's a little more caught up at this point.
Oh, man. That's funny, Co. So I have another good Fawcast story. I don't think he would mind if I said his name. Alex Golish, the tight ends coach, the recruiting coordinator.
Oh, he listens?
Well, he listened. He was coming back from like a recruiting trip or something, and he's not like real. Alex isn't like a real like techie guy. Like he's kind of figuring out. Like I was explaining to him how to use the podcast app on his iPhone.
Yeah,
like he didn't really know how to do that. So what he did though is like he got on Cyclone Fanatic this day and he like was streaming the latest podcast. He didn't even know we did podcasts.
Okay,
and he happened to. He's like, yeah, man. Like I got on there and like. You know, I'm driving around, and it's just like three guys just talking, and, like, it had nothing to do with Iowa State football or anything. It was like you talk about, like, your wives and your kids and beer, and it's like it was really weird, so I turned it off. And I had to explain to him, like, okay, well, this is, like, a different – like, we've got, like, five different podcasts on our website, and they're all different things. This is, like, the way back, and it's more of your off-topic type one, and – hopefully I can get him to come back, but I don't think he was too impressed with the Fawcast.
I think if you stumble onto the Fawcast, you're going to say, what am I listening to right
now? It really is. Like, you have to kind of be part of our club to get it, because other than that, like, like we're not introducing ourselves every week, right? Like,
correct.
It's not like like in radio where you have to reset it and you have to say who you are because you've got new people tuning in. It's not like that.
Yeah.
I want to know what show he was listening to, which one.
Yeah, I know. I would like to know that too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who knows? We've talked about some weird stuff. Like the one where you were talking about like how you don't like – you guys were talking about killing your dogs and
no,
stuff.
No, I never said that. I never said that. Charter said that.
Charter said that he didn't mind – he wouldn't mind if his dog died. And you were talking at that time about how you really didn't care for yours.
Oh, yeah.
I got more bad news because my wife took our dog to Chris's wife for her expert opinion. She basically said that she's okay. Yeah, so
Ashley didn't help you?
No. No, I was expecting Ashley to be like, well, I'm seeing some signs here. There were no signs.
No.
So
did you like anxiety drugs or anything like that? It sounds like she's anxious.
I think, yeah, my dog's been spitting those back out. So you got to get sneaky and put it in the cheese or something to get her to take those. But she's
that
been
up her butt.
No. Orally.
Would you be the one to do it?
Oh, hell no.
I thought sneak it in the cheese meant, yeah, because sometimes you have to put pills up their butts.
No. I would not do that.
I've never done
There's
that.
There's no way I would
do
that.
I do know that you can give medicine that way.
That seems odd. But I, anally. You know, the dog still does weird stuff in the new house. She, like, instead of pooping in the grass, she'll go stand in the middle of a bush and poop in the bush. I mean, she does stuff like that. But I think Kate has officially switched over to your wife now. It took a while, but I think your wife has a new client.
Fine folks at the Creature Comforts Veterinary Hospital do good work.
I asked Ashley if she knows of anybody that's looking to adopt an 8-year-old black lab.
She told me they're bumping up on Krogs the other night.
I was, yeah.
They're in demand.
Yeah, Krogs Krogs got humped by your dog, Dirks. Humped him, and Krogs just sat there and took it.
Yeah, Krogs enjoyed it, I think.
He actually, I mean, full on, and this is a big.
Full on humping?
Your dog weighs, what, 90 pounds? Big dog.
80, 90 pounds.
Yeah, big dog. Just yeah. And just full on taking it to Krogs. And
Krogs is our intern, if you're listening and don't know who he is, by the way.
And he just, I think he really enjoyed it.
Did you go to Dirks, by the way, the other night?
No, we were going to.
I find that shocking. You named your dog after the guy and you didn't see him.
Well, I've seen him, honestly, like 7 times, I think.
Yeah.
And I was going to go with Matt Lazier, who's one of the owners of Fanatic. And really the only tickets we could get were like $200. And yeah. They weren't that great. And as much as I love Dirks Bentley, and I do, I'm not a huge State Fair concert guy either.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just, one, the seats all suck unless you're right up there. Two, it's usually hotter than hell, which I can deal with. Like, the heat doesn't really get to me. But three, like, the beer, the whole one you have to go and buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Like, that whole deal drives me insane. Like, you shouldn't have to wait 45 minutes to get a beer.
Agreed.
Like, I just bought, and those country shows get nuts there, which I enjoy. But, like, on a Monday night, like, you combined everything and we passed.
Can you just the main reason is because the fair sucks and you should never go to the fair.
I'm not a.
I went to the fair last night. It was fun.
I haven't been yet this year. I might maybe go this weekend. But
get that G Meg's wrap. It's really good.
G Meg's wrap.
We had one last night. Fantastic. And I had the jalapeno cheddar corn dog as well. Hence why I came in drinking the green smoothie.
Do you have any?
Do you like corn dogs?
Oh, I love.
I love corn dogs.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Oh, they're awesome.
I love them. Anyway, someone's texting me. Sorry, I got distracted. Fair traditions, do you guys have one? Like something you do every time when you go or none?
I never really went to the fair until a couple years ago. I mean, we just go to a concert every year and walk around and drink. That's my tradition.
Did you grow up going to the fair?
No, because the fair sucks, okay? It sucks, and I don't
You're
know
such
why
a we're... sourpuss, dude.
I'm just telling
you. Just because that crazy old man ran over your kid.
I mean, yeah.
First off, it that sucked nothing before that, and now it sucks even more.
What about your wife? Does she ever want to go back to
no,
the fair?
No. It was terrible.
So you'll literally never go back?
Never. Never.
Not even for a concert?
My kids will
show?
Be like 17. Their friends will be like, hey, you want to go to the fair? And I'll be like, no, you're not going to the fair with them. You're not allowed to go to the fair.
You're grounded. By the way, back to country music for a second. Are you an Eric Church fan?
Yeah, he's my all-time favorite.
Okay, so
he's not your all-time favorite.
I'm naive. I'm naive about country music, but I was talking to some people because I got a suite for Journey. Journey just came through town, and that was actually a really good show. Journey sounded good. And I was talking to other people, and it was a little bit tough to find people to even go to a suite for Journey because it's Journey, and it was an odd night or whatever. Anyway, but then a friend was texting me about Eric Church. He's coming in January.
Yeah.
And
Thursday night in January.
Within like two conversations with a couple of various people, I have, if I get a suite, I have it filled already.
Oh, yeah. He's,
and I'm like, what is the draw with Eric popular. Church?
Because he started off, this is just why I like him. I actually saw Church in, the first time I ever saw him, at a bar in, I think, Mason City.
Yeah.
Where there's like 40, 50 people there. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. And I followed him and went to Cedar Falls the next night and watched him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was basically him in an acoustic type show.
Yeah.
Here's his backstory. This is what kind of like made me fall in love with the guy. So he was touring with Rascal Flatts. Rascal Flatts was the
who headline. I know. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. And they're the epitome of douche country. Like they started douche country. Okay?
More than Lady A.
Well, Lady A probably wouldn't be around if it weren't for Rascal Flatts opening those doors. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're like the godfather of douche country. Mm-hmm. And Rascal Flatts was getting upset with Church. This is at least 10 years ago. Because he was playing too long and, like, too loud.
Yeah.
Like, the opener's kind of just supposed to
be mellow.
Set the tone, right?
Yep.
Well, Church was getting everybody just too jacked up.
Yep.
And then, like, it was a letdown when...
Stealing their thunder.
It was a letdown when Rascal Flatts would come out. Because, you know, they're doing their... whatever.
They're great music that they do.
Jesus, Adam, stop. Embarrassing yourself.
My wish.
So, Church... They kicked Church off the tour because he was at a show
of jealousy.
In Madison Square Garden, and Church just played overtime, and he was basically like flipping them off. They're like telling him to get off the stage. Yeah. So what Church did was he followed their tour around for the rest of the year,
mm-hmm.
And did free shows in every town that Rascal Flatts was playing
While they were doing their shows?
Yeah.
Nice.
And while it probably didn't really impact them all, like, just that type of an attitude to me is very...
appealing.
It's very appealing to me.
Yep.
Church is this guy who... He's kind of like outlaw type country, but then he's really into the rock too. I mean, how did I describe him to somebody the other day? It's like, it would be like Springsteen combined with Strait combined with Waylon. I don't know. Like it's like he's got this own little like genre thing going on, and it's real, and he's really evolved over the years. He's a lot different than he was. I don't like his new stuff as much as the old stuff, but he's a really good artist. He writes everything. He plays all of his own music.
I don't mind people as much when they don't wear stupid cowboy hats, and he's a baseball hat guy.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he even wears, like, douchey scarves and stuff every once in a while now. He's evolved a little bit. But he's wildly popular because now he's kind of a crossover. Like, Rolling Stone, they write about him all the time, about how he's one of the, like, greatest artists in the world right now. And they generally don't do that with country.
Well, it doesn't sound like Gray's going to be there. For it.
You went to the last church show, didn't you?
I loved it. Yeah, why would I not go?
I don't know.
Well, because Gray's more into the douche country than the real stuff, but...
Yeah. Are you a fan of Lady A?
I'm a fan of just a song. If I like a song, I'm a fan of it, and I don't care who sings it or how douchey it sounds.
Yep.
So Lady A's got a couple good songs.
God. They're at the fair this weekend, I think.
Are they?
You don't like Downtown by Lady A?
No. I don't even know. What does that song sound like?
I like Bartender.
Bartender?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, Bartender.
Hey, Bartender.
Are you going to kiss me or not? Come on, Williams.
That's not them. That's Thompson Square.
Oh, Tom. You're right. Okay, I'm sorry. That's a good song, though.
Yeah.
Get your shit together, Greg.
That's debatable.
Come on.
That's debatable.
Church is my favorite.
Speaking of country, Jess DeWitt is a local country artist. Mm-hmm. She defines herself as alternative country. She's playing at the kickoff party tomorrow night at Benchwarmers.
Nice. Is alternative country, is that douche country to you a little
bit? No, I think she would, from what I understand of her, it's kind of like more of like how I described church, where I would say it's more in between like rock and country.
Nice.
That's how I would describe alternative country.
So
douche country is pop country.
Yeah.
Pop.
Okay.
She doesn't do that.
Charter,
she's
you going
kind
tomorrow?
Of a badass.
Yeah. Why don't you plug this thing for tomorrow? I mean, I know a little bit about it, but what, 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
We start at 5.
At Thunderhead.
No.
Benchwarmers.
Okay. Benchwarmers. Thunderhead KXNO is having the event for the fight after that.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm going to be...
And we will be having future events at Thunderhead.
Correct.
We'll
We're have more, friend of the program.
More,
well,
more
I'm going to be going... I'm going to be doing Benchwarmers from... I'll probably be at bench from like 4 until 9.
Yep.
And then I'm going to head over to Thunderhead for the main event for McGregor and Diaz.
Yep.
That fake fighting that they do?
Stop.
It's fake. You know it's fake, right?
No, I don't think it's fake.
But no, the throwing of the water bottles, that whole thing, 100%
fake.
Dude,
I was reading today.
That was a little WWE.
Somebody's getting sued. There's somebody is in the stands. Dana White was talking about this on ESPN. Got hit with like a water bottle or something.
Oh, a plastic water bottle. No way.
I know. But like White was talking about how like the legal stuff is already in motion.
Idiots.
That's stupid.
But anyways, to finish the plug, and then we'll get it.
Yeah.
Just come up. We're giving away free season tickets for a lucky winner who wins the draw. Jess is going to start playing, I think, at 6 or 6:30-ish. Okay.
To get the season tickets, you go, you buy an alcoholic drink. They'll give you a raffle ticket. More you drink, the more raffle
or
tickets.
Coaches come in or no?
Pizzas?
No coaches.
Okay.
Just fun.
Fun beer.
And that event's always pretty packed, so get there early and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I will. I'll definitely come out and
we'll be doing our shows from there again
babies.
On Thursdays,
Thursday
too, so
night.
Swing on by.
That starts a week from next Thursday.
September 1st.
Yeah.
Did you guys see, I'm sure you did, by the way, the pool day video that came out?
Yeah, I saw it last night.
That was pretty cool.
I haven't watched that yet.
It was neat. I thought it was really neat.
They've done that for years. Rhodes staff used to do that, too.
But was it planned in the past?
I don't. Did you see how they did it?
Coach sprang it on them. There was lead time. It was like they thought they were in trouble and having to run.
Yeah,
and
then, so
yeah, the Rhodes did the same thing.
They framed a cell phone ringing in the meeting room.
Yeah,
and that's like automatic like running for the guys because you can't have that. Well, Campbell's staff like framed it, and Campbell like they videotaped it, and Campbell's like, "That's it, get out there, we're going to run."
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys are like, oh, man, come on. Like, they're all pissed off.
And then he surprised him and said they were going to the pool.
That's good stuff. I'll have to watch that.
It was pretty entertaining.
They've made some good moves. I mean, obviously you hope it translates onto the field, but everything that they've done so far from a PR perspective, as far as videos other than the famous Advocare khaki pleats one or whatever. But
I do think that was a joke after talking to some people.
Okay. Well, hopefully it was, because that one sucked.
Yeah, that was awful. I think they were like making fun of themselves. But
pool day to new unis, to what they're doing on social media, to everything, it seems like they're making a lot of good moves.
They have freshened things up.
Well, yeah, no question about it, and hopefully it translates into victories.
Did you read the ESPN article yesterday?
No.
Did you read Williams?
About what?
No, I haven't.
It was phenomenal.
The Jake Trotter wrote it, right?
I don't actually know who wrote
about
it.
About Iowa State?
About Campbell, and basically saying that he's putting Iowa State players in tough positions in practice because he goes back and watched the game tape from last year, and any time Iowa State ever got hit in the mouth, they pretty much folded.
Yeah.
Which they did. I mean, the second half, Iowa State was terrible last year.
What does their T-shirt say? Something like the score, the fourth quarter combined?
Yeah, I think it's got like the scores on it.
Awful.
Because the scores.
We got slaughtered in the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you think about how many games they were in going to the fourth and they didn't end up winning.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes back to like, hey, Campos is out. Sure, it sucks. What are you guys going to do now? You guys going to be little bitches or are you guys going to get out there and work? I loved it because, I mean, I think it goes back to even when Jamie Pollard, after the Oklahoma State game, he comes out and made those excuses and does that rant and rave a little bit. There's been this demeanor in Iowa State, whether it's the coach, athletic director, definitely the fans, the woe is me, when is the ball going to get taken away from us, type attitude. And Campbell and the staff, that's the number one thing I think they're trying to change.
I'm not going to give up who I was talking to, but I was having a text conversation with somebody in the program about the Campos injury.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about it, and he writes me back. He said, if I hear you getting down on this program, I'm going to find you, look you up, and punch you in the face.
Love it. I love it.
And it's easy to do, though, because we have this loser mentality ingrained in us as Iowa State fans.
We're realistic.
We just do. Because when that happened, how did people react? They reacted like,
here we go.
It started already.
But it's so refreshing to have a fan base or a coaching staff now that does not play into that. I think
– well, they haven't coached a game yet.
Yeah, Rhodes towards the end was making excuses.
Paul didn't do that at the beginning.
No, yeah. But then towards the end he was – I mean, shit, even when we beat Texas, we should never beat Texas. I mean, it was that loser mentality kind of, so to speak. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Paul, but it is refreshing because it has not been in the program for 3-4 years now.
It's just a deal too, like the – just watching coaches evolve during their careers at Iowa State. Like they all come here one way and then it seems like they leave another. And I hope Fred didn't do that because Fred had sustained success. Like he wasn't forced out. Right.
Yeah.
Much different though. Football to basketball, but yeah.
Yeah. No question. No question. And I don't know. Campbell just feels different. It's just and I've talked to other people too, who, I was talking to a guy who is in the market now, but he used to cover the SEC, and this guy's completely objective. He doesn't care if Iowa State wins or loses. And he was telling me just Campbell feels to him more like one of those guys.
Yeah.
Which I can sense, like, there's just something different. I can't really put a finger on it. We'll see. We'll see. Their offensive line is going to suck. Everybody needs to realize that. Like this whole, Manning and Campbell are offensive line guys. They're going to figure it out. Well, I think they'll call better plays to protect an offensive line. They have a good idea how to do that. But they can't make, if Breon Creer has to go out and start a game at tackle, they can't turn him into Orlando Pace. I think fans just need to brace themselves for a really bad line and then just hope for the best. And
that's good. And that's good coaching, though. If the line sucks, you got to work around it.
Exactly.
But I think the Iowa State program right now feels identical to my beloved Chicago Cubs and what they're doing. When you go back a couple of years, and they got Epstein in there, and you knew there was a plan in place, and the ownership was back in that and said, "We're going to get this turned around." You knew you were in for a couple of shitty years, but nobody cared because it's like this year is what we were waiting on. And Iowa State, I don't think, frankly, will ever get to the top of the Big 12 and be that team. But can they win consistently, go to bowls consistently? I think that they can, and Campbell seems to be the right guy to do that.
And I think that Campbell's here at a really good time because if you look league-wide, I'm not sure what Kansas State has in its future. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously Kansas is where they're at.
Baylor
is about ready to take a major dive.
Texas Tech could,
too. Texas Tech is where I was going next because I think Kingsbury, he's fine, but I think he's 7-5, 8-4 at the best for him. I don't think he's ever going to that, or he's going to need to leave and get experience somewhere else and come back to them later on. But my point is I think there's going to be an opening in the Big 12 over the next couple of years where Iowa State really could, if they keep recruiting at this level, jump into that 3-4-5 six spot as opposed to fighting perennially for 8-9-10.
Yeah.
I think that there's going an opening.
We fight our asses off, though, for 8-9-10.
Yeah.
I mean, we work hard to get there.
You know what I mean, though? Like,
absolutely.
And that's the problem, like, with Paul's staff. And they had their opportunity to do that in 2012. They should have been 8-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should have been 8-4 in 2012, and they didn't do it. And that, to me, like, there's a couple things that are consistent about the history of Iowa State football. One, they're usually not very good up front. We usually get beat up front. And two, whenever we had that opportunity, Mac in 2005, they had an opportunity to go 10-2, 11-1 that year, and they didn't. Every time there was a close game, they'd blow it. And that was the same deal with Paul in 2012. And now, like, when is that next opportunity coming? I don't know, but it could be 2017. I think next year could be it, frankly.
Yeah, but how is the line going to look better next year?
I don't know. I mean, you got to hope that Good Jones is a beast. You got to hope that Meeker's a beast.
That Campos comes back 100%
healthy. Yeah, you got to hope that Campos. You got to hope that you go out and recruit your balls off on the junior college trail and get a couple guys who can actually play. These JUCOs who are in here now are not going to contribute very much, I'll promise you. So they got to do better in that sense.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know, but you got to hope that some of these young guys in the program are ready to go. You got to hope that Sean Curtis in his fifth year in the program is finally ready to contribute, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff like that.
What do you think – Gray knows I hate talking X's and O's, but this is the biggest question of the season for me. We're all agreed that the offensive line is going to blow. Fine. It's going to blow. How do we win games? What do you think they're going to do this year based on the fact they have a crappy offensive line?
I think that – did you hear Ben Bruns on with me this week? Mm-mm. Ben kind of – I love listening to him talk about offensive line. It gives me an erection.
Jesus. You should get that checked out.
Yeah, you should go.
Sorry.
Go to our friends at the Iowa Clinic. Yep. See your Doc Nicholson. That's his name, right?
Doc Nicholson.
Yeah, good dude.
There are things that you can do when you know that your line sucks. And trying to have Joel Lanning take – three-step drops and throw it 40 yards down the field all the time is not necessarily the route to go in that sense. Basically what you do, you keep it simple. You keep things quick. Schematically, it's easier to run block than it is to pass block.
Yeah.
Now, you also have to be a mauler to be able to – there's different physical things that go into that. Again, I'm basically just quoting what Ben said.
Yeah.
But you've got to – like, I think in the past the offensive line sucked, but they didn't know how to call plays to protect the offensive line. Well, now the offensive coordinator is an offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
He knows firsthand how bad that group is.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to put them in compromising situations where they need to protect Joel Lanning for 5 seconds because he knows that, frankly, that's not even possible with this group.
So you can't play behind the chains all season.
Yeah, it's going to limit the playbook, but you know what? That may not even be a bad thing. I don't know. I am excited, though. I think that they're going to do some fun things with Lazard and even, like, Chase Allen. I think that, like, those guys could be, like, slots.
Yeah.
And you're using Allen and guys like that a lot more than you would have because you need extra blockers. And I think there's some fun little things that they can do with this.
Well, I was just going to say, what they'll probably do too is they've already moved, what's his name, over from the defense?
Siambacher. Yeah.
To the offense. They're going to be bringing in extra guys to help out the offensive line.
Correct.
I mean, they're going to – Cole Anderson.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are going to be back there. you know, if there's a defensive end that we just can't block, Julian Good-Jones cannot block this guy.
Cliff Fernandez, I think, is going to be pretty good at tight end, by the way, it sounds like. He's going to be okay. I don't think he's going to catch a ton of passes, but I think he's one of those guys that you're talking about.
Can block a little bit, and maybe you put him out on a play action here.
And don't laugh, but this Mitchell Harger is probably going to get increased playing time, too, because he's smart. Like, he's the type of guy where you know if you have him in there for pass protection, he's going to do his job.
Yeah.
He physically may not be able to do everything, but he'll at least get in the way.
I bet. So he's a guy that they put in on obvious passing situations as an extra blocker back in the backfield.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, does that answer your question? Yep. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it.
I mean, the reality is we're going to learn a lot first week of the season, second week of the season.
I worry about Northern Iowa just in the sense that those little skilled, speedy defensive lines that they always have always give Iowa State's Lions problems.
Do a lot of stunts.
Yeah, they mix it up so much.
Yeah,
that game just scares the bejesus out of me. But
I'm just excited to watch second half adjustments, because honestly, for the first half, Iowa State's offense last year was pretty solid in most games. Not great. It was
decent first half team, no question about
horrible.
It.
Horrible. We couldn't score in the second half. Could not score. Iowa, we didn't score. TCU, we didn't score. Oklahoma State, we didn't score in the fourth quarter. I mean, you just can't have that. So I think there's a lot of wins out there, because you look back at last year, there's a lot of wins that they should have had they didn't have.
Oklahoma State, Kansas State.
Have you guys been watching the Toledo, Olympics, Iowa? By the way?
Toledo. I forgot about Toledo.
Toledo.
Here's my question for you guys. Going into this season, how confident are you in Joel Lanning?
Like a number scale?
Yeah, 1 to 10. 10 being the most confident.
Like in him or in like the scenario?
In him.
Around?
I mean, yeah, because you got to take into account bad offensive lines.
I would say like a 6.5-7 to him.
Yeah.
I agree with that. He's not the second coming, but he's not horrible.
And we just –
he's athletic.
We just haven't seen enough, like, when he – like, it was a train wreck, that line last year, too. So it's like
– that line last year did an okay job. The line wasn't that bad last year.
What did Toledo
okay.
do last year record-wise, by the way? What were they?
What, 10-2?
10-2.
10-2, is that right?
Yeah.
They beat Arkansas. They beat Iowa State.
Yeah.
I think they're 10-2.
The players
got to play, but
I'm excited. Title game.
Yeah.
I've never been so excited to watch a coaching staff. Seems weird going into the season, but just to see how they manage things. You know, I'm excited to see Campbell out there holding his own headset. You know, not somebody following him around. You know,
are you sure?
You need to get over need to get over the small details.
No, yeah. That'd be weird if headset guy is still there this year.
No,
My deal with Lanning is, at the end of the day, I think he's – this is kind of a cliche, but I think there's some truth to it. He's just a winner. Like, he's a hard-ass kid who
– That's – yeah.
When he – you know, when Joel Lanning – and I probably make too big of a deal out of this, but when I watched him, like, lay out, like, linebackers and safeties
the
blocking,
Texas safety, it was phenomenal.
Like, to me, that – that's showing your teammates something. Like, this is a guy who we want to play for.
Yeah.
Like, who we're going to
so this
bust
is
our balls for.
This is where I come with him. I mean, we still haven't seen him consistently be accurate. You know, the staff says they've worked on a couple things.
I don't know if I buy that. Like, I need to see that.
Yeah. Well, because Iowa State's been so bad at developing quarterbacks for the last decade.
Correct.
I mean, you see flashes of them when they're sophomores, and you think, when Sam Richardson came in and played against Kansas, we thought this guy's going to be a future 3-year stud for Iowa State.
He should have been.
And he wasn't, no. Right? Here's my thing. I hate killing Sam Richardson. I've done it many times, obviously. But Joel Lanning won't shrink. He might not make the play.
Correct.
But he's not going to shrink. Like, correct. He will go play hard. If it's 4th and 7 and we need to get 7 yards, he's not sliding short of the first down like another quarterback did a couple years back.
I've told this story a couple times, and I'll tell it again because I think it's really important to understand who Joel Lanning is. It was his first spring there. And he's got the green jersey on because, you know, the quarterback isn't supposed to get hit. He throws an interception. Joel didn't like how one of the defensive backs he thought was showing him up. Guess who made the tackle and almost knocked the guy out?
Mr. Green Jersey?
Joel, the guy with the green jersey.
He's strong.
I think, told the story about how Wally Burnham has said that he would have turned – Lanning into the next Jake Nott if Lanning would just agree to go play defense. Mm-hmm. So that's like the tough – and Wally Burnham's an incredibly smart defensive guy, we all know. So like that's a really big compliment there. So that's why I like him. That's why I have confidence in him. It's just I also know that he's got to – you know, they've got to be able to protect him to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
that toughness is going to play a role this year if he gets hit as much as
you know what?
Think he's going to get
he's
hit.
He's the perfect quarterback to have for this line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like Arnaud when he had that bad line, and you'd be like, Arnaud, we need, just need 2-3 yards, and he was tough as nails going in there and getting it.
Yeah. I really wish we could have seen Austin play under that McFarland offense for the last 2 years too, because he – God, he was good as a sophomore.
He was good.
That defense was an abomination.
Yes.
That I've Kansas never, State game with
I've
Josh
never seen
Freeman.
More guys just wide open downfield. Just what, no one within 20, 30 yards.
What
– Wayne Bolt was a good coach, though. He did a really good job at Iowa State.
Wayne Bolt, did you hear me and Bloom in our
yeah,
off the
I
record?
Did. I
is
did.
Wayne Bolt the worst coordinator Iowa State's had in the modern day era of Iowa State
yeah,
football?
Yeah, I mean, you guys were talking like Barney Cotton. I know Barney Cotton was pretty bad at Iowa State, but he was not nearly as bad as Wayne. Wayne Bolt was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, he.
Courtney Messingham wasn't even as bad. And
Messingham, like, you could, if you just want to get real objective and just look at numbers,
yeah.
Like, he did get better.
Yeah, but I think they had more talent than.
I agree.
So, I mean, he.
They had more talent than Herman had.
Correct.
And it's not even close.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I would, I mean, duh, you'd take Tom Herman over Courtney Messingham. I
think you would.
Yeah.
Let's keep Son Wood. That was my favorite
Me
coach.
Mangino, yeah.
Yeah. Mangino.
What's he doing these
which
days?
Which was more of a train wreck era? The Mangino offense or Wayne Bolt defense?
Ooh.
Wayne Bolt's defense was worse than Mangino's offense, but you have to factor in how Mangino went out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
Wayne Bolt was actually, he was at least kind of liked on the staff, wasn't he? No one liked Mangino.
I loved Wayne Bolt. The first time I ever went in to interview him, I'll never forget it. He like couldn't talk at first because he had so much chew in his mouth. And he's like... Sorry, son.
He's farting?
Spitting.
Oh, spitting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, son. All right, go ahead. He was a super nice guy. He was just an awful coach.
Nice. Where is Mangino's son now?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. That's a guy I felt bad for in that whole deal because he's a really nice kid.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, I like Tommy
what
a lot.
Douche. Could you ever imagine cheering against your own son as he's coaching?
Well, mocking your own son.
That is horrific.
And mocking a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds who you helped get there.
I assume that he was doing that because he just knew he was done.
Well, he was already fired.
Well, no, I mean done like not wanting to go get another job. You know, just like that's last stop.
That's one of the most classless things I've seen in sports. And like in the at the local level, like
because Rhodes didn't even like bash him too much. He basically just said we didn't get along on some things, and I just decided. I mean, he could have killed him for certain.
Rhodes
stuff.
Should have fired him the off season before that,
probably.
But I think Rhodes was being loyal to him because he, you know, I think it.
Rhodes was too loyal. That was part of his downfall.
No, no question. He was too loyal to Courtney.
Oh well, you know, he landed on his feet.
You live and you learn.
He's got a nice little payoff from Iowa State, so. You know, I never feel too bad for these guys.
Well, they're in a hard profession. And you know, when you get into that profession, that it's brutal.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate Paul just being an Iowa Stater in the sense that I know he had other options. And he truly believed in his heart that he was going to do things here that nobody else had done.
And he did early on.
He did.
He actually did. I mean, which is sad for the history of Iowa State football.
I'm pretty sure Paul could have been the head coach at Wisconsin, and he could have been the head coach at Pitt at one point in time. And he wanted to stay at Iowa. And I like that means a lot to me as an Iowa Stater. And that's why I hate it. Because it's just natural. Like when you get a new guy, you constantly compare him to the old guy. Mm-hmm. And I think Paul gets the brunt of that, which I don't know how fair. Like a lot of it's fair because he didn't win. But like. It can turn personal, you know?
Yeah.
We saw it the most with McDermott. I think McDermott got the most personal in that.
Yeah, which I don't like.
You've been around the program, though, leading up to the season. Are you sensing energy?
Oh, yeah.
Just a ton of it, just with the newness and excitement and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm excited about. It's just, all right, we're ready to change things up.
I think
we come out and we play well against UNL.
I think they're going to play well. I think that this season will be a lot like Fred's first season where it may not result in wins, but you can clearly tell things are going in the right direction. You can clearly tell that good decisions are being made on the floor. Remember, I mean, Fred lost a lot of games toward the end of that year, but like they were against teams that we didn't have nearly as much talent as.
They went 16-16. They probably lost 5 games they could have won.
Yeah, remember that Oklahoma State game?
Oklahoma State,
perfect.
Nebraska.
Yeah. Colorado in the Big 12 Championship Series. Mm-hmm. You know, like the
Jake Anderson went off in that game.
Yeah, so like I think that that's what this season will be like. And then I really think next year, I think 2017 is a huge step for Iowa State football.
Well, them getting those two junior college defensive tackles was huge. Huge.
Dude, God, if only DeMond had one more year.
Yeah. I just redshirt him. Just do what they should have done with Deontay.
Did you hear on that Chris Babb interview? Yeah. He said that that was actually a conversation.
Talked about? Yeah, I heard about
that. I don't
know
how that didn't get talked about more. That's quite the revelation.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been epic had Fred done that. Now, it's totally not fair to, like, Scott Kristofferson and
who would have been the point guard that year? Would they put Scotty at point guard? I mean, who is Deontay's back? I got to pull
this. Jake Anderson would have been the point.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to geek out on statistics right now.
I need to know who the backup point guard. I mean, yeah, Jake, I guess.
Jake Anderson would have run the point.
Such a dork.
Awful.
Yeah. Where do you look this stuff up?
I like
go to rosters for a certain year.
I'm going to Deontay Garrett college stats, and I'll see who else was on that team.
So, Mark, I don't know if you heard it, though. I interviewed Chris Babb.
I didn't, no.
And he, amongst many other things, he was very candid,
yep.
Which I appreciated. But he told us that, because I asked him about, man, what if you guys would have had Deontay that year that all of you transfers played? Because they went to the Sweet 16, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the year they lost to Kentucky with Royce.
Yep.
And he said, yeah, actually, that they had talked about that, about just redshirting Deontay or Garrett for his senior year.
Do you know what they should have done? They should have kept DeMarcus Phillips happy, kept him on the team, had him run point guard. Boo-Boo could have been the backup, and you still got my boy Oz McBeth to bring in to play a little bit as well.
DeMarcus Phillips, at one point, was one of the most highly touted guys. Like,
we took him over Will Clyburn the first go-around.
Dude, they loved DeMarcus Phillips.
He never went anywhere after that, did he?
No, because he was a train wreck, like, personally. But, like, he had an immense amount of talent. Yeah, they chose him over Will Clyburn.
And then Clyburn went to Utah.
And then he
came back to Iowa State. Yeah.
Did you see that, speaking of old Hoiberg guys, that Tyrus and Melvin are on the same team?
I did. Are they in Italy?
Italy now.
That'd be nice.
Didn't you guys do this podcast, or you at least talked about it, a podcast of, like, the biggest what-ifs in Iowa State history?
Bloom and I did that last year.
What was the biggest one that you came away with?
Part of the Buffalo Wild Wings series last
year. Like, what was the one if this had happened?
Was it – man, I think mine was that 2005 football season.
Yeah.
Because my old deal is if McCarney makes a Big 12 championship game,
yeah,
it's really hard to fire him the next year.
Yeah.
Oh, he wouldn't have gotten fired at
all. Yeah, so, like, I mean, if Culberson makes one of those kicks against Missouri or Kansas, or if Greg Coleman doesn't fumble it five times against Baylor.
Oh, you're starting to stretch it a little bit here.
Remember the Nebraska game, double overtime loss to Nebraska? Like, if any of that stuff happens,
yeah,
McCarney's in a title game, you can't fire him.
Yeah.
He's done something that nobody else has ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can't fire him with Meyer and Blythe both coming back for their senior years. So then Chizik doesn't have – like, the whole thing is different. That's my – probably.
I don't know if that's the biggest what-if, though, because who knows how – even if they don't fire him, does McCarney do that much better two, 3 years down the road? Do you think
– I don't know. Oh, you know what I actually think got the biggest what-if? I think we went with the Ohio State game in the round of 32.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of how wide open that
bracket turned out to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Wichita State ended up winning it.
Actually, mine might have been, it was tied to that, if Chris Babb doesn't get hurt in that game.
Yeah.
Because they probably are in the Final Four.
Was it tied with Kraft?
Their next year's team was better.
Or Niang's ankle.
That one to me is more. That one's more.
I can't remember which one, but these are all massive.
When Kraft hit that shot, was it tied? Was it a tie game?
It was a tie game.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been. We got hosed on two calls in a row, I thought, but yeah. That was a tough one. Well, and if people forget too, Edgem gets the rebound on that, loses the ball because he had terrible hands, if you remember.
Yeah,
I mean, as good as he was, he had terrible
brick
hands. He loses the ball out of bounds and gives Ohio State a second chance in which Kraft hits that
shot. I think, too, though, you can do what-ifs the other way as well. And this, it didn't mean a lot, but, like, the biggest win in football history at Iowa State is arguably the Oklahoma State game.
Yeah.
I think – I'll always think this based on replays. That kick could have been called good, too. Like, their field goal that they missed, which would have won them the game, that sent it to OT, I believe. I thought the kick was good. I've seen that on TV a bunch of times.
Man, I'd have to go back and watch it.
It was one of those that was over the goalpost.
Was it like Tony L against Alabama?
Yeah.
Independence?
They called it no good.
Sitting right behind that goalpost there for that game.
They called it no good. I thought it looked good. They looked shocked that it had been called no good.
Think about that.
I know.
Think we played Alabama, who now is just the powerhouse that they are. We kicked their ass the entire game. Yeah. We should have won that game by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And we lost in a field goal. Nowadays, if we played Alabama, even if we lost like that, it'd be the biggest moral victory ever. We'd be so ecstatic.
We're the king of moral victories at Iowa State. Hey, but at least we played the game right.
Moral victory, you.
We tried hard.
Yeah, we did. Good effort.
All right.
I was talking to Jared on the other podcast. He doesn't realize this because he's so young. I keeps calling us Iowa State punter you, and he doesn't understand why we're punter you.
When McCartney used to like give the player of the game to the.
To the punter.
Jeez.
Hey, we've got good punters,
that
man.
That happened a lot.
And Rhodes did a lot of fake punts, and our punters seemed to throw better passes than our quarterbacks a lot of times, and they'd get some big pickups and some runs, and yeah. Our best offense many games has been our punter.
Tune in next week.
That's a lot of truth to that.
Iowa State legend. Maybe.
The legendary.
Lane Danielson. We'll be hitting on the 2003 season.
He's apparently going to be beefing with us because he thinks that we're too hard on his 2-10 Cyclones.
We're gonna let him say his piece on 2003 and put it to rest.
Hey, I always say this. If we come on and criticize people, then they should be able to come on and we'll tell both sides of the story.
You know? But I said, Lane, we also talk about the season in which you won 9 games. Yeah. So that, you know. Sound that we're just bagging on you.
Lane's like the, I mean, he's top 5 receiver in Iowa State history.
Absolutely.
It's not even close.
Who's number 1? Blythe?
Blythe.
I think Blythe is.
Yeah.
Lazard's got a good chance of being number 1 when it's all said.
As long as Lazard is utilized correctly, he'll pass
top
Blythe.
Guy.
But yeah. And he should.
Percentage chances Lazard leaves early.
0.
Oh. 5.
Oh, there's got to be 5.
Gotta 5 to 10.
I'm sticking with 0.
Okay.
He's not
that good.
It's just
going to be.
Yeah, and it's, I mean.
I'm just throwing it out. I'm just asking a question,
guys. I think it's a fair question.
It's a horrible question. Horrible take out of you.
Did you read in my little insider thing, speaking of guys leaving early?
Yeah, Ray Lima.
Ray Lima, I was told by a really guy who would know, he said that he's good enough where he'll play his junior year and then leave, which I still, like, don't believe it. I need to see it.
Yeah.
I don't need to be hyped up about recruits.
You need to name your source on this one, Williams.
Well, I can't.
Why? I mean, come on. Name your source.
Shut up.
Put your name on it.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Later.